Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show. With tonight's guest, founder of The White Feather, Summer Morgan.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Senia Lukey. I am Mark Lejeur, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, speaking with and getting more acquainted with our guest and performance guest today, especially because of what they do and what they said and how they presented during our conversations, reminded me of something that I haven't thought of for many years. When I was in college, I auditioned for and got the part of getting to be in the chorus of the San Diego Opera. And the very first opera I got to do with them, was Norma. And it's an opera by Vincenzo Bellini. It's called Norma. And growing up around a lot of priests, I was familiar with a lot of priests. And especially during holidays and all that, there were a lot of priests. Now, I say that in that way because in this opera was the first time, maybe, I'm trying to remember, that I ever heard or made a connection to the word priestesses. And in the opera, there is a big group of priestesses, and they are powerful. And as a matter of fact, the men of the, now I don't know if these were good men or bad men or if what they did in history, but supposedly I think it was based on the Druids. And so I'm not sure if they were off to fight a good war or a bad war, but they could not go to war until Norma, the highest of the priestesses, the high priestess, says it was time to go. And she was able to tune in to Mother Earth and the moon and whatever else, and they would pray, and they the priestesses would get the answer as to when the men should go and fight the war or whatever, and be successful if they did it within the timing and the way that the priestesses said. So it made me think of how important a role not only women have, but women that do the kind of work we're going to talk about, but even more importantly, probably because they're both on at the same time and they both touch upon in different ways some of the same concepts, and each expands in their own way, that I thought, wow, to have two or more gathered as priestesses, and well, I don't know if that's the right word, actually. I think not knowing is very telling, actually. What do we call a group of powerful women that come together for the good of community, for the good of humanity? What do we call that, and where are they? And I'd like to say that today, two of them are here with us on the Life Changes Show.
Tonight's going to be a great conversation, a great exploration. I had the good fortune of being able to take in some events at the White Feather and some great experiences by Summer and her team and Mona. Just a fantastic path they're on and great tools, but really, really deep wisdom. So I'm excited for tonight's conversation.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And so with that, we have titled this episode, How to Be Your Authentic Self. This is our episode 813. And our interview guest is a yoga teacher, a sound healer, a psychic medium, a wellness coach, and so much more. We welcome Summer Morgan to the Life Changes Show.
Well, hello.
Well, hello.
Thank you for having me, you guys.
It's so great, and it was so great to connect with you and right away go deep into see what you inspired, by the way.
Right. Yeah, you just, that's what's the beautiful thing about having conversations with people we don't even know. You just sometimes, if you're open, you never know where it's going to lead, and sometimes it always leads to where you need to go, right?
Absolutely. And so I should say it's not just the group of women, but the group of men, the group of people, the group of all of us together. And I feel very close to this conversation in the sense that I think the way I said it was how to be your authentic self. Summer, I think this is the the conversation we should all be having. And you said 100%. Why?
Well, you know, I feel like there's so many people that are lost or don't even know that they're lost. They're just trying to find what their purpose is, who they are, who they want to be. And I think the problem is sometimes with our society, it wants us to be a certain way, or social media, we look at things and we kind of lose ourselves and or be in what we need to survive, you know, whether it's our job or our lifestyle. It's like it's a survival mode. And so we kind of lose ourselves and we forget who we are, and we get so lost in that. And coming back to it and finding who we truly are, it's such a beautiful thing once you find that, because that's the true path of life, I feel.
Summer, I think you're the perfect person to speak on this in the sense that you actually, the way you put it, and I'm not saying that you need to write a book, but I'm not. I'm just saying that my dream became a nightmare or something like that. There's something there like a title. Anyway, but you said that. What dream are we talking about? Let's start with that.
Yeah. You know, as a child, like, I was a competitive athlete, and once that kind of came to an end, while I was being competitive, I always kind of had a dream to move to LA and be a model and actress. It was just so glorified, and it looked like this amazing life and this lifestyle. And once I injured myself in my career, and that kind of career was over, I pursued my dream in modeling. And with that kind of came agents and people in your ear telling you you needed to look a certain way, or the hair color or length, or, you know, it was a lot of dictation on how to succeed. And with that was me needing breast implants. And, you know, it took me a while to finally like cave and say, okay, you know, I'll get them, because it just seems so normal down here. I'm from Northern California. And so when I moved down here, it was like everyone around me had them. It just seemed so like, okay, I guess, you know, my model friend has it, they have it, they're doing well and successful. So maybe if I get these implants, I'm going to do well. And I mean, I did. And I did, sadly, that the implants were what boosted my career. That I was, it was more like bikini modeling and promo and clothing. Like, I was just very flat chested from being a gymnast and an athlete. And so after that, after the many years kind of went by, I got extremely ill. We didn't know what it was. Long story kind of short in that.
Yeah,
sense.
Actually, before
I got breast implant illness. Yeah.
Before we go into that. So,
okay.
I was inspired to ask you, did you have anybody saying no, or did you have anybody to really talk to? And that's when you got into the story of growing up and your family. And technically it sounds like the nightmare, like it made you want a dream, and that turned into a nightmare. So what's the nightmare that you were starting to describe to me?
Oh, as the beginning child, as a child. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. That's perfect.
Well, as a child, while I was doing the competitive, I did deal with a lot of abuse from my mother. I also dealt with homelessness with my father for a few years, mostly my middle school from 6th to 8th grade. And that was not probably the easiest to endure as a child from 10 to 13 years of age. And that was kind of the nightmare I had to go through.
And so, with that, I was asking you, did you have women that were close to you that you could speak to about the experiences you were having in the industry or questions? And you said something about motherly and sisterly love.
I did have sisters grow. I had a half sister and a stepsister growing up, and I never really experienced like sisterhood or mother, like that like mother-daughter bond where, you know, you could kind of sit at go like any daughter could go to their mom and talk to them about the girly things or just life challenges. I never really had that growing up, and my sister was kind of always not the nicest either, and was pretty, you know, kind of a bully to me growing up. So I kind of grew up not trusting women in a sense, and feeling like they didn't have my best interest at heart. And so I never knew what it was like to be accepted or loved by another woman in my circle or in my life growing up.
So, do you think that influenced wanting to be seen a certain way or be successful in a certain way, and also to take advice that might lead you away from what you were thinking might be what you needed to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting. There was always something my mom said to me as a child that stuck with me that kind of gave me the drive to not give up. She always said, and this is a little harsh, but she said I was going to grow up and be stupid and dumb like my dad. And so I always kind of was like, you know what? I'm going to show her that I know I'm not stupid. I know I'm not dumb, and I'm going to succeed in this life. And a lot of times people want to give up on themselves, but in that moment, I think I realized that there's no way I'm going to give up on myself. Like, there's something in my life that I'm either meant to do or a direction I'm supposed to go. Like, there's a meaning behind why my life is like this right now, you know, why it's this hard.
It's interesting that there was somebody inside of you, who was telling you differently. You weren't necessarily ready to listen at the time. What were you telling yourself inside?
There was a lot. I mean, there's always that voice inside. No one teaches us how to actually listen to it. We just hear it. I mean, Pinocchio tried to teach us to, you know, let your conscience be your guide, but you know, it wasn't really like embedded in there to like really listen. And you know, I did hear that voice one time before I got my implants to like, I was the only voice that I heard, like, you shouldn't do this. But I didn't listen, of course, and I went for it. And it just kind of shows when you don't listen to your conscience, kind of like, hey, I was trying to warn you, but then I feel like there was a reason why I went through that, is so I could be a voice and go through something and help others and kind of have this experience that I could share and hopefully empower other women and save other women, you know, in a way.
You just used the phrase, you know, and interestingly, you used it when you were telling me what the effects are or what one can or cannot do when one has implants, etc. And you were saying, you know, and no, I don't know. And I bet there are people who don't. So do you want to share some of that?
Definitely. I have a lot of, and it's like, this is the one thing I feel like girls and women open their eyes to when I say this, because we always talk about like bottled water, right? And you leave a bottled water outside, or you know, it's in the sun, you don't want to drink it because obviously the toxins in the plastic are being absorbed into the water, correct?
Yeah.
You know, in
Well,
science, that's like, you know,
yeah.
that's kind of how it works. So when we think of that in a implant sort of way, like, so the implants that are in our body that they put inside of our body. And women go in saunas, they go in hot bathtubs, and they go into like a a spa out, like an outdoor hot tub, any hot water, I guess you could say, you're boiling your implants. And that the toxins, which there's multiple toxins inside these implants, that are very harmful for the body, very harmful for the endocrine system. And it's absorbing out of those implants and seeping into the body. Every time you're in the sauna thinking you're detoxing your body, you're just detoxing your implant toxins into your body, and it's getting absorbed even more. So it's like this. There's no, if I would have known, like, hey, you're gonna get these implants, you're gonna have these problems possibly. You can't go in the sauna, you can't go in the hot tub because the toxins can seep out of the implant. You know, it's like that stuff's not told us before we do that. But as I went on this journey with the illness, I learned a lot of this stuff, which was very mind-blowing that we actually put these into our bodies.
So, wow. Thank you for sharing that. And one thing that I noticed in talking with you is how open you were and how much you were willing and wanting to share. What's the wanting part?
You know, everyone has their own journey. My body's different than your body, the next person's body, and so forth. I'm not saying everybody with implants or an illness of or whatever abuse that I might have went through, they're going to go through the same thing. They might have different experiences. Mine is just sh that's how I found out I had breast implant illness. I went on a Facebook group. This person shared it. It opened my eyes. I learned not only all that stuff, what was actually going on. It made sense to my symptoms. It helped me heal faster. I removed my implants. As soon as I removed my implants, I instantly got better. So it was like realizing how that person shared their story and how fast it was able to make me come to realization of what was going on with me to remove my implants and get better. After I shared my story, I had multiple women reach out to me, then who removed their implants and thanked me for sharing my story because now they feel better and they're living their life. So it was like, it's like this domino effect of the how I felt when someone shared their story. I couldn't imagine if I didn't share my story, and now seeing the ripple effect of how good other people feel because of my story. I feel like, you know, that's why I share it.
So, how to be your authentic self? I think this is probably one of the hugest examples of how you did something to your body that deep down inside you didn't want to do. And you actually didn't do it for a long time, but you were told by many people that's the way to do it. And your authentic self was always trying to speak with you.
It was. And you know, it's interesting because I did a lot of inner work, spiritual work, and I wondered why I said yes. You know, I like traced, I went down the rabbit hole and kind of looked at it all. And when you look at it as a child, I did anything to make my parents happy because I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't want to get hit. Me and my dad were homeless together. So it was like whatever he said went because we were in certain situations, even with my gymnastics and like in competition, like I had to do my best. I had to say yes. And it felt that same way in the modeling career. It was like, my agents were like my coaches, and I had to say yes to them because they knew what was best for my career in a sense. And it was like almost like a people-pleasing thing I had attained, you know, through the tra childhood trauma. And I kind of was, instead of listening to myself and being who I wanted to be, I was people-pleasing and being who all these other people thought I should have been and thought they knew best for me. But in the long run, we always know what's best for ourselves. And once I figured that out and I wanted to just do me and be who I was, the not the model, but the nature girl, the girl who likes to play music and all the other stuff that I do, you know, that was the true me, you know.
So this is a good analogy for somebody taking a job they don't want, or somebody getting into a relationship they don't want, or whatever it is. And Yet people go through this kind of stuff all the time. Not your scenario, but they go through things that they don't want to do, and they go through with them and all that. And then sometimes they'll do an about face and say, "I'm not going to do that anymore." But your story is not just about not doing that. Your story, you used your story, or how was it that you came to use your story to go deep and make a connection for life with your authentic self?
Well, it's a lot of it started was healing myself the natural way. Doing that, I did a lot of breath work. I trained in like Wim Hof breath work. I did that for months. I did NET healing, which is neuro emotional technique to help release like trauma within the body. There was a lot of stuff that I did that like I trained in that helped me have these like realizations. Sound baths, I went to, and I was really called to that. I used to be in a band. I play music by ear. You know, I don't know how to read music, but I play it by ear. So it was interesting how the journey to finding my authentic self and healing all those old wounds came into my purpose, you know, of what I do now. So yeah, there's so many modalities that I use to help me clear a path to that, to my authentic self.
So they not only helped you heal, but they helped you connect.
Exactly. It was like all in one, like eating healthy and natural medicine versus all the Western medicine. And once my body, it's all about to me, because I'm a sound healer, so everything to me is like vibration. Like my body was in this like not my vibration, not my soul's vibration that it wanted to vibrate in. It wanted to be in this high vibration, but I had all these things, traumas and illnesses and toxins and stuff that I needed out of my body first. And then it was like there was a lot of alone time I had with myself, just really doing that soul searching work. And I feel like that's super important. And sometimes people feel alone. I did feel alone, but that alone time I feel like is super important for one's journey to really get to know who they are and how they are with themselves when they're alone.
So a little later, we're going to talk about some modalities, and you've already mentioned them, and you help people through that kind of thing, along with using your psychic mediumship, right? And wellness coaching and all of that. When did this psychic mediumship kick in for you, or you became a, or did you become aware of it?
So, yeah, I always had interesting things as a child I would see, and I grew up very religious. I grew up in a Christian family. And my grandma, you know, I was baptized. She always prayed over me. She was who I actually would go to. I would sometimes see things and I would go to my grandma and I'd be like, "Grandma, I saw this." And instantly it was like praying over me. Yes, Jesus loves me. We're singing, you know, it's like, just forget about it, Summer. Whatever you saw, you didn't see. It was just like, shut it off. And I never understood that. And so there was always this like curiosity in me. I was like, it doesn't feel bad. Like, I don't feel like it didn't feel evil. I didn't feel like what I was doing. I was connecting with something, you know, it was like interesting. And so I was like, you know, growing up religious, I did keep shutting it down. You know, I believe in God. And I was like, okay, I don't want any like hauntings, or I didn't like scary movies. That stuff really scared me. I didn't want to see anything. So I didn't, my imagination was just kind of always running wild. I had lost a dog and I had contacted a pet psychic and talked to a pet psychic and, you know, was kind of like knew I wasn't supposed to, but kind of dabbled into that. And it was really intriguing to me. And I thought it was really cool. She could talk to my animal. It blew my mind how on point she was. And so that kind of like opened the door again. And then I saw this animal communication on this meditation site that I used to do like yoga, meditation, sound healing at. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. This woman teaches you the science of animal communication. Like, there's science behind it. And for me, I like the science behind things because I teach the science behind sound healing and frequencies. And so people understand the sound in a different form versus just learning how to play the instruments and going out. And I was like, okay, I'm intrigued. Let's hear the science behind this, because then maybe that I could explain it better to people, or it'd be more understandable to me. And I was blown away. I was actually shocked at what I learned, and there was no religion to it. There was no woo-woo scary stuff. It was explained really beautifully by Mana, who is one of the teachers that works at the White Feather with me and does events. And I've had other people take this course that she teaches, which is Mediumship 101, and she teaches the science behind it. And everyone always thinks it's like this mediumship thing, and they come in and they're like, wow, I just discovered how to like listen to myself. And she basically teaches you how to trust your intuition and the difference between your intuition, your instinct, like that voice inside that I wasn't listening to, how to actually listen to it and know when like your soul is talking to you versus like your brain trying to analyze things and tell you a story, which it can, you know, because that's what the brain's meant to do. And so that's kind of what got me into it. And then once I understood the science behind all that, I was able to be more empathetic to my clients. So as I'm doing sound healing and connecting with them, I'm able to hear not only their story, because I usually listen on my private 101s. I'll listen, you know, see what they have to say, what they're wanting to release. And sometimes stuff comes up because I'm trained in that. I can be a medium when I need to and talk to people that have passed or animals that have passed. And I can do psychic readings and read current energy. And, you know, being trained in that really helps me connect with my client to help them release whatever they're holding on to. Because if I pick up on something that they're holding on to and they release it, their vibration instantly changes and they're vibrating higher and already healing. And it's a beautiful thing to witness.
So when you're supporting people connecting with their authentic self, in a sense, through your mediumship, you're actually connecting with their authentic self.
Their authentic self, yes,
I
because
mean,
I
their
could,
authentic self, yeah.
their authentic self, yeah, because I could see who they truly want to be and what they're holding on to.
How do people receive that?
A lot of times they cry, like, because they feel it and they know it within themselves what they want to release and what they're struggling with. And not all the times, you know, I'm telling them stuff. Sometimes it's just a sound bath and they're going on their own journey with the sound and they're already releasing it on their own through the sound and what they're experiencing. So it's like for each person, it's a different experience, but it's meant to help, you know, people feel better and lighter and have some sort of clarity on what they're going through.
Speaking of clarity, you said something so clearly and so strong when I don't remember how we got into this part of the conversation, but I think it's important to bring up because I loved hearing you and your passion behind it. When I started to say something about there's so much competition between women, and that's all I said, I think. And then you said something. What'd you say?
Was like, I don't play that game. I don't like that. I don't do the competition thing. I want women to support each other and like boost each other up, not feel like we're in competition with each other. It's so lost. You know, and I had said that we're meant to be like sisterhoods, and we're strong. We're powerful women, you know. It's an interesting, you know, sometimes how we got here, how we kind of lost that connection with each other. Because when you do find that sisterhood, it's a beautiful feeling with when women do come together. And I know when we do women groups and we have, you know, breath work sessions, how you see strangers, different women and strangers that never have met come together after a breath work session or a sound bath session when we do one. It's wild because you just see the love everyone has for each other once they release and let go and be their authentic self, you know?
What a beautiful way to do community also in support of each other.
Yeah, it is. And that's what we need again. That's why I created the space that I did, so that I could build that community and people have that space to go to and feel safe.
What you needed, you created for others.
Exactly.
Well, do you think you would have had this consciousness if you hadn't gone through everything you went through?
I of course not. I believe we gain our wisdom in different ways. Mine was through the physical, like the physical experiences that I had to endure. And it was really interesting. There was this video we found. I was 5 years old, and my aunt and uncle ran Weintraubenpageants. Pageants. So like there was a few years that I had to do pageants as a child. And I said, they asked me what I wanted to be when I was older, and I said, I want to help the poor people and the sick people and help people feel better. And so it's
Wow.
interesting looking back on that, what that little girl said, and here I am now, you know, helping people feel better. And even when people can't afford it, you know, I'm here to help because I do want to find a way where people can feel good.
Like they could read a book or watch a movie or watch you
Yeah.
on video.
Yeah. I mean, and there are times like I do not like to charge people if they have just lost someone. I tell them just come and receive, please, because grief is one of the lowest vibrations that you could hold on to. And the more we help people that grieve, the more we raise the vibration and consciousness of this earth. So it's such a big one for people. I don't think that they realize how hard grief could be for some.
I get a sense that there are people listening now, and I trust that they're hearing what I'm hearing and that they're hearing what I'm not hearing. And what I'm not hearing is, I want people to feel sorry for me, or I was a victim. I'm not hearing that.
Yeah, and honestly, that was a hard part of being open and telling my story, because sometimes I didn't know how to tell my story without, I just didn't want people to feel sorry for me or poor me or like indulge in my story as a victim, because that's not who I am. And I feel like, how do I explain this in a way? Like we kind of choose our lives in a way and the journey that we're going to go on. And so I think I just accepted my life. And even though there was the hard times, like even with my dad, he taught me to be really tough. And I have pretty good street smarts and plumbing skills and construction skills. So it's like these things that I obtained, I probably, if I had a life where I was given everything, I probably wouldn't have these attributes and strengths. So I thank my past, even though it's sad and horrible and very hard. It's amazing what I've gained from it and turned it into my strength and my power versus my weakness.
To thewhitefeather.com, just as it sounds, to thewhitefeather.com. And then you can find Summer on Instagram, to the white feather. Summer, what can people do? I know you offer all of this, and so they could learn more about it through you. And also, when the show ends tonight and they're quiet by themselves, or maybe they can take a quiet moment. What would you have them focus on?
You know, if since we're talking about being our authentic self, if those are listening and they have like either their phone or their notes or a notepad by, they could write these things down. These are all my favorite ways to be your authentic self. Is one, always self-reflection. Two, embrace your vulnerability. The best thing to be is vulnerable. In any situation, to See who you really are. Three, set your boundaries. People that you are positive in your life, keep those people. People that are toxic in your life, let them go for now so that you could be in your true self. Practice self-care. Five, surround yourself with supportive people, like I just said. Six, stay curious. Stay curious about life. Stay curious about yourself and what you like and what you don't like, what feels good, what doesn't feel good. And seven is my favorite, is always act with integrity. And those would be my seven favorite things about being your authentic self.
Nice. Summer, you're very
Yeah.
special.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've enjoyed this very much. And like I said, Mark has invited me a couple times saying, you gotta go. And I haven't been in town. So one of these days, I look forward to experience what you do at To the White Feather. Again, tothewhitefeather.com or on Instagram as well. People can learn more about it. The last word is yours.
I would just say it's a beautiful life and live it the way you want and do what makes you happy. There you go.
And there we are. Summer, what a pleasure.
Thank you guys. I hope you have a beautiful night.
And all the best to you, Summer Morgan. Thank you so much. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Jasmine, and I want to thank you for assisting me in becoming a better healer through your Energetic Alchemy course. However, the challenge I'm having is that too many of my clients keep coming back and yet aren't really shifting. They love the way they feel during our energetic sessions, but I'm concerned because I feel drained when the session is over. How do I change this?
Precious Jasmine, you are an amazing healer, and I have benefited greatly from the times you worked on me. I feel you're not delving into your clients' emotional causes of their dis-ease, as this is the best way to bring about permanent healings. Let's remember that all physical challenges begin in the emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies before they appear in our physical bodies. It is vitally important that you discuss the emotional causes prior to doing the energy work. It is also important to assign them homework and share with them the amazing books available that can assist them in taking control of their thoughts and about their illnesses. One of my favorite books is Feelings Buried Alive Never Die by Carol K. Truman. Some other great books are Your Body Believes Every Word You Say by Bernie Siegel, The Body Mind Workbook by Debbie Shapiro, and The Power of the Mind to Heal by Joan Borchinko. These are just a few of the great books that remind us that we are the power in our world and that what we focus on expands. I believe that once your clients begin examining their thoughts and do the necessary mental work, that they will heal more quickly. It is our job to take care of ourselves, so it is most important for you to remember to ground yourself before you begin your sessions and connect with your higher self and set up a shield around you so that your personal energies are not available to others. Please let me know how things change for the better once you begin to do the things I have suggested. And thank you for all you do to make this world a better place.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Ksenia Luki, here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and our performance guest is a singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and sound healing practitioner. We welcome back to the Life Changes Show, Ksenia Luki. Welcome, Ksenia.
Hello. Hi, Philippa.
I feel like the first time you were on the show, it was a different world. And in a sense, we're all part of that world that is making it different. I trust that a lot of us are working to make it better, and I know you are, and a lot of which you are doing through your music. Now, you yourself have had your world change many, many times.
Certainly. Yes, but you know.
One of the things that I think is interesting how I didn't see anywhere in your videos or in the music that you play piano, but you started with piano, right?
I started with piano, yes. It was 4 years out of seven that I endured in the music school. But I have to be completely transparent. After I quit, I probably played piano twice or maybe three times after that.
Wow.
Guitar took up my entire musical time and my interest. So I haven't touched piano ever since. Yeah, but it was a foundation of my, musical education, yeah.
Now, guitars, I've seen a lot of them, actually, in different sizes and colors. Yeah. So interestingly, tell us the story of how you discovered the guitar. Was it at the music school?
Yeah, so I remember just going for my classes for piano and just the moments when, you know, my teacher would step out and there was this guitar just hanging on the wall, which is, for all of you listening, not a great way to keep your guitar. Keep it in the case.
Okay.
Every time she would leave, yeah, I would just come up and strum the strings, and I had no idea how to properly play it. But there was something about that instrument that was truly intriguing. So when I turned 13, I taught myself how to play the guitar. And I had this, my first guitar was a used, beat up instrument, but I loved it so much I couldn't just put it down. And it was, a love from the first sight.
And and many loves after that with different guitars.
There's never too many, Philippa. Once you start, you know, it's very hard to stop because you travel, you go to Brazil, oh my gosh, I need a Brazilian guitar, you know.
You go to Hawaii,
oh my gosh, what a beautiful ukulele.
Some people collect shot glasses from the different countries, you collect guitars. Actually,
yes, absolutely.
Before we get too far into it, another thing that inspired my monologue about the priestesses was your voice also. And listening to, I listened to a lot of your music, and there was one that I just kept coming back to, and I was singing it today, actually, in my head. I'm sure I didn't do the words justice, because what language is it in? You know what I'm talking about. I don't even know how to pronounce the title.
Богородица.
Say it again.
Богородица.
Okay. I'll leave you to that. What is it about?
So it is a prayer to the Divine Mother. It is a kind of a hymn, you know, invoking her qualities, invoking her protection, her wisdom, and beauty and purity, and calling for her help to keep the faith, to keep the hope, and to keep the love in the heart.
Beautiful. And we're going to get to hear it. It starts almost a cappella, and that's something that I don't think we hear enough of, like that call, that chant, right? How important is that sound?
Yes. Pure prayer, yes.
And so here is, you wouldn't mind pronouncing it one more time, please?
Bagarodjitsa.
Bagarodjisan.
Yes.
And here is Ksenia Luki and her pre-recorded, although it was recorded live, piece here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition.
Веру, надежду, любовь сохрани в моем сердце. Руки в молитве сложу я до святой Богородице. Дева мудрая, мать божественная, добрая защитница моя. Yeah.
Ksenia Luki, thank you for letting us share that with our audience.
It is my pleasure. Thank you so much, Felipe, for letting me share it.
It does something for me. I want to spell your name Ksenia Luki. So you can find Ksenia at ksenialuki.com and also the same on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. She's on Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp. We have all the links at the Life Changes Show, but you'll also find them on her website or on her Instagram bio. Ksenia, I failed to mention that the song was going to be in what language?
It was in Russian.
It was in Russian. And why Russian? Do you maybe come from there?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Russia. I spent a majority of my life in Russia until I moved to the States. And I think maybe closer to half of my life I spent here in the United States of America. So, but I very much enjoy and respect that part of my upbringing and heritage and the language and, tradition.
Well, speaking of worlds changing, that's a different world, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of adjustment, a lot of learning.
So you dropped music in order to adjust and to learn, right?
Well, you know, there are multiple reasons why I stopped playing music. So back when I was in Russia, I just decided to pursue a different career. So I went and studied communications. And so there was not a lot of time or even, I think, probably desire for me to play music at that time. I just thought it's not a path for me. And I think my fear to fail was a little bit bigger than my love for music at that point. And then, you know, moving, immigrating, it was a big step and it took a lot of my time, a lot of my energy. And also it was not a very creative time for me, but once I was rooted and, you know, kind of got back to myself and just, I don't know, looked at myself from a perspective of the purpose, you know, what do I really want to do, what I would like to offer, what I feel nourished by. And yeah, music came back and I'm very happy it did.
Well, we're happy you did too. And before we get to more of the music of that you're making here in America, let's go back to Russia. And what music were you doing there as part of a group?
So when I quit the music, when I quit piano, I went to study folk, vocal and folk music. And I was a part of a group, ensemble. That was concentrated on folk, Russian traditional folk music, and I did it for many years. And yeah, there was a foundation of my, vocal training and my taste in music. So yeah, folk.
So this was a last second request just before the show started when I asked you if you would give us a live taste of some of the folk music you would do.
Certainly.
Are you up for it?
Certainly.
You're so good.
Filippo, a lot of the songs are very sad. They're beautiful, but they can be sad.
Well, are you going to tell us what it's about before we hear a piece of it? Just a piece. Well,
yeah, sure. So there is this very beautiful song that I used to like to sing when I was in the group. It's about willow tree and it's about a broken heart. You know, it's about finding love and then losing love. Basically under the willow tree.
Okay, Ksenia Luki live here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition.
All right. Evushki, evushki, деревца зеленые, что же вы наделали? На любовь ответили. О, крыльца высокого встретила я сокола, встретила, поверила. ответила, встретила, поверила, на любовь ответила.
Wow. Thank you, Ksenia, for doing that.
My pleasure.
That is so special. And that's another thing that I feel we don't get to hear more of, is learning about the different cultures in such a positive way, and getting to learn more of their music and incorporating them. So thank you for sharing that. And by the way, actually, our countries are where you lived in Russia was where?
So I live in Chukotka. It is a part of Russia. It's northeast of Russia. And it's a peninsula that is basically through the Bering. So it's 30 minutes on a helicopter from Alaska.
Wow.
So it's the same climate, the same nature, same northern lights, you know, same beauty. Yes.
Wow. And also there are tribal people there, right?
Yes, there are still tribal people, of course. Yeah, there are Chukchas. Yeah, I grew up with a lot of them. My dad worked with Chukcha, so I was definitely exposed to a lot of their culture. They practice shamanism, so I witnessed a lot of that growing up. And yeah, they're beautiful people. They have amazing art, amazing music. Yeah, they live simply, but yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful tribe.
Well, speaking of, thank you for sharing that, shamanism and amazing music. So we have a song that we're going to get to play here as we end our show together. Tell us about Good Days.
Oh, Good Days. So, yeah, I love this song. I think for me, when I was writing it, it was an important song to write just for myself, I guess. It was a big medicine for me, very powerful medicine. I was just going through deep, profound change, a lot of grief and sadness at that moment. And it was my way to make sense of what I was going through, to find wisdom in it, to find a lesson, and to ultimately just, accept the change is inevitable, and all we can do is just to flow and find good. And yes, there are good days, there are bad days, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, you also said that it has a lot of medicine for all of us, and this is something that we need, maybe especially at this moment.
Certainly.
So here's Ksenia Lukey's pre-recorded song, Good Days, here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition.
There are good days, and there are bad days. First the sea is calm, and then tsunami waves wipe out my shores. It's time to rebuild the cities. Yes, there are good days, and there are bad days. There are endings and new beginnings, but aren't all of them the same momentum and the purpose of our existence? Don't burn the bridges, for there are endings. Scales tilt and then come even, and sometimes it seems unfair, but remember things do happen for a reason. bittersweet, but that's what I believe in. When scales tilt, they then come even. Is this a balance in the works or cosmic jokes? Who knows? But I've taken windy roads before. A grain of sand reflects the universe effect and cause. I will lay odds that there'll be more. So hold me close as I let go. So hold me close as I let go. There are good days and there are bad days, black and white and all the colors in between. Brush over me.
Ksenia Luki, wish we could have let that play on, but people will have to go either to Spotify or Apple Music or any of your website and social pages and hear the song or learn more about it, get it for their own collection. I'd like to shout out to Colin Martin, who made us aware of your new material. And so we're thank you to Colin, and thank you for coming back on the show and sharing your new stuff. Your new album is called Grow. How appropriate.
So yeah, it was a 2019 album. But yeah, I'm planning on recording new stuff the upcoming year. So 2025. I'm gonna get to the studio and record some new songs that are, yeah, they're different, but I think they reflect of the changes I went through and the life changes I went through. So, but thank you so much for letting me share, Filippo. It's been wonderful to talk to you and to connect and be able to share my music. So I appreciate it very much. It means a lot to me.
Likewise. Well, it means a lot to us, and we're happy to do it. So thank you. All the best to you. Looking forward to more from you. A big thank you to our performance guest, Ksenia Luki. And with that, another big thank you to our interview guest, Summer Morgan. And sure to be hearing a lot more from her as well. And with that, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeur, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.